for us, brother. I ask everyone to find their Bibles, Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. Brother, lead us in a word of prayer. We need it.
Everybody raise your hands, please. You know what this is? It's a universal sign of surrender. Okay? That's what we're going to do tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, as we're here with our hands lifted, Lord, that we're willing to present ourselves to you, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Lord, that we can be all you want us to be. May our ears be open. May our hearts be willing to receive the word that Brother Greg's fixing to share. Take and bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Psalm chapter 51. Many of you, I know, have read this psalm multiple times. If you're like me, it's probably one of your favorite psalms. Because if you're like me, you stay in trouble all the time and you have to repent quite regularly. You need the Lord's forgiveness. Psalm chapter 51. I'm going to ask you for a little stand in honor of reading God's Word. We're just going to read all of it and not leave any of it out. Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion, blot out my rebellion. Completely wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you alone I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out my guilt. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take away your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me, O Lord, to the joy of your salvation. And sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. Save me from the guilt of bloodshed, God. God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not want a sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. You will not despise a broken an humbled heart, O Lord my God. In your good pleasure, cause Zion to prosper. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered upon your altar. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Hide me behind the cross. May we study your word with integrity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, tonight's message is, for me, this morning we looked at stress, strife, and struggle. And I just want to be honest with you this evening. This whole week I was struggling to get message that was for this morning's service. But then I started working on tonight's service, and struggle really set in. What do you preach to church people that know who Jesus Christ is? You're here for a reason. You're here to worship your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're here for a reason. You know who He is, and He is real in your life. Otherwise, you would not be here. Now, I want to stop here for just a moment. There's one here, the sound of my voice, that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you'll listen to tonight's message, you too will know how you can come to salvation. Because that's going to be focused upon our message tonight. But it's not just for those who are lost. It's for those of us who've already surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we need to return to the cross. We need to be broken. And we need to understand who He is and what He has done for us. And we need to remember. We need to remember. Tonight's message is going to be about salvation. Tonight's message is going to be for us as a church. But as we get started, I want to ask you one question. How many of us have ever messed up? Well, if I had 10 hands, I'd raise 11. Because I have made a mistake after mistake after mistake. So tonight's message is entitled, I've messed up. Now what? I've messed up. Now what? Several years ago, here at church, we had a rough and rowdy crew of boys who was constantly stayed in trouble. And Charlie Short went to talk to the pastor that day. If you know who Charlie Short's son is, you might get the connect dots. And they went into the pastor, and the pastor said, I'll only talk to him if I can talk to him one at a time. So Wade goes in. The pastor said, where is God? Wade didn't say a word. Now, if you know Wade, that's a miracle in itself. So the pastor asked him again, where is God? Wade didn't say a word. So the pastor, with a lot of authority, where is God? Wade jumps up, runs out, heads out towards the house, all his friends with him. They get to the house and they ask him, what's wrong? What's wrong? Boys, let me tell you something. God is missing and they think we've done it. Let me tell you something. That's a joke, brother. Wade catches a lot of flack because I have a platform to talk, he says. I've taken away his platform. But I love my brother. But all seriousness aside, the truth of the matter is, we all need to ask in our own lives, where is God? Either he's first in your life, or he is not. And you have to ask yourself that question. And we're going to get real tonight, church, and for that I don't apologize. But if I struggle with it, you just pray for me, because I think God has a message for each and every person that's under the sound of my voice, not from Greg, but from my Lord and Savior through his word. And I think it's important for us as the church, as a church, as a group of churches, to know and to understand that salvation is of utmost priority. Of yours and for a lost and dying world that's headed for a place called hell that needs for you and for me to stand up and step up and proclaim the gospel. Amen. That there's hope found in Jesus. Amen. In our scripture, we see here that David was missing God. It wasn't that God had went anywhere. It's because David had abandoned where he was supposed to be. If you read in the scriptures, it does not say that God had left him. It says David was supposed to be out fighting a war. And he stayed at home. And the sin didn't take place when he saw a naked woman bathing. The sin took place when he didn't return to where he came from. And he took action upon what was in front of him. You see, we're all time guilty of saying, we were tempted, so that's the sin. No, that's not the sin. The sin takes place when you give in to that temptation. I don't know what you're going through or what you're facing tonight or this week or been facing, but let me just share something with you. There's one truth that never changes. When we go through sin, it's not because God placed it upon us, because God cannot sin, neither does he tempt anyone. It's because we've given in to Satan's deception. And we've followed after what he wants for us to do, and we've taken the wrong path. 2 Samuel chapter 12, after David had done all these things and had taken place, not only had he committed adultery, but he had committed murder by having Uriah killed, and all these things taking place, the lies and deception, he thought he got away with it. But you see, we cannot hide anything from God. God knows your heart and your life and exactly where you are, right here tonight. Let me tell you something, though. Just like God loved David then, he loves you now. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He just asks and pleads for you to come back home. To come back home. So at this point, David had three choices. He could claim that Nathan was wrong and lie. He could have Nathan killed too, and commit a murder again, or he can admit his sin and repent, in which is what he did. He admitted his sin, and he repented. And the amazing thing about God is this. God heard his plea, and he forgave him. That didn't take away the consequences. You read about the life of David. He paid for his sin. Just like today's day and time, we will pay for our sins. Consequences come and happen and take place. But I praise God that his mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. So tonight, as we look at these scriptures, I want to ask us a question. I want for you to ask yourself the question right now. Don't answer me. But you ask yourself this question. How many people here need to surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Second question. How many people here are Christians and are struggling with sin in their life and they need to come back home? And maybe you need to come back home. So as we look through scriptures, I want to help us kind of answer this question. I've messed up. What now? If you had a fill in the blank, we normally do on Sunday mornings. I didn't get one ready for you tonight, but if you have a piece of paper, and if you want to fill in the blank, you can do so. I've messed up. What now? Number one, recognize the sin. Recognize the sin. We're seeing these scriptures that David recognized and admitted that he was guilty of sin. However, this recognition of his sin did not bring forgiveness. You see, in our own lives, we can recognize all we want to that we have sin in our life. But until we repent, until we return to Jesus Christ, we will not be forgiven. It takes confessing, admitting, believing, and repenting, a changing of direction, and going away from the direction of ourselves and towards that someone's name is Jesus. That's what repentance is. Turning from self to Jesus. And that there's no one here in this room in the sound of my voice that does not need to do that daily. We need to not only recognize the sin, but we need to repent from that sin. David was guilty prior to Nathan's arrival. And he knew what was going on. He knew what he was doing. You see, the Scripture even shares with us that David was a man after God's own heart. Does that not share with you how much God loves you and he wants to use you to grow his kingdom? That's key. If you get nothing else than this tonight, God wants to use you to grow his kingdom. And it's important for us to understand that. How many of us have done things and neglected to recognize our wrong? How many of us have done things and recognized our wrong? How many of us are like David and have hid our sins? We're all guilty of it. Maybe intentional on occasions, maybe not intentional on occasions. But each and every person here is guilty of it. Each and every person here needs to repent and return back to Jesus and placing Him first in your life. Do we really think that we can hide our sins from God? Just like the last verse of Scripture in Judges, which says, the people did what was right in their own eyes. Just like David thought here as he thought he had gotten away with it. Just like oftentimes in our world today, people are doing what's right in their own eyes. Proverbs 30 verse 12, there is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet not washed from their filthiness. Even though we recognize, we still must repent. Oftentimes people know they sin, they know they're wrong, they know God desires for them to turn back, but they neglect to make things right between them and the Lord. That's exactly what David is talking about here. Because David went through each step. Though I'm sure if you was to ask him, he wished he had not have taken those steps. But because of his forgiveness, his redemption, he would probably say to you today, I'm glad these steps are here to show you the way that you can come back to the Savior. Come back to the one that will redeem you. Come back to your Creator, your Sustainer, your Provider. Look at the things that awful that I have done and see how God restored me. see how God restored me. You see, recognition is not enough. Some people are afraid and embarrassed in front of others because of their sin. Is that you? Have you done something maybe that you shouldn't have done? How did David recognize? Now, we often see that Nathan came and told him. But I want to tell you the power of the Holy Spirit. When you read Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 through 5, you'll hear how David found out about his sin. Listen to it. How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is the man the Lord does not charge with sin and in whose spirit is no deceit. Now listen to David. When I kept silent, my charge with sin, and I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin. Praise God. He found out what was going on in his life, and he asked for forgiveness and restoration. Praise God, you today can have forgiveness and restoration. But you have to recognize your sin, and you have to repent of that sin. Turn from your sinful ways and turn to someone. Now I know that set us up in this awful rut that we seem to be in. And you're thinking this, I can see it in your eyes. Hey, preacher, we're the church. We're here tonight. Why are you preaching that to us? I want to tell you something. I may not be preaching it to you, but I'm preaching it to me. Because all too often, we get so sidetracked, so stuck in our own selfish ways, that we miss where God wants us to be. We miss exactly what He's called for us to do, what He's called for us to be. In that, if you remember, the first thing we said, what's the job of the church? To grow God's kingdom. To see salvation take place. To see the baptismal water stirred. Sin, it's real. Even in the middle of ministry, doing something that is good, we can get sidetracked and be doing something for self instead of in His honor and His glory. Because we're all too often very guilty of saying, God, look at what we're doing. Come and join us. Come join me in what I'm doing. And if you've read Henry Black and the Experience of God, it does not say to do that. God's Word says, see God at work and join Him. Join Him in what He is doing. You see, Greg can accomplish nothing. Greg is just a sinner saved by grace. I need to be following Him. Church, we need to be following Him. That's the recognition that needs to happen. That's the recognition that needs to take place. Church, let me tell you something. If you're not hearing from the Holy Spirit, you're avoiding Him. You're avoiding Him. How do I know, or how do I come to this conclusion? Jesus told us. Hear what He says about what the Holy Spirit's going to do. John 16, 8 through 11. When He comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin because they do not believe in Me. About righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see Me. About judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. What do these three verses mean? Now, church, here's the second thing. If you hear nothing else, hear this tonight. Sometimes we pray, and sometimes we hear the prayer said something like this. Father, I pray, Lord, Your Spirit would come down upon lost people, and they would come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. That's a great prayer. But is it biblical? How does God reach people? Now, I may be wrong, but I think it's at least 99.9999% of people. When they come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they come to know by His Word. You see, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing from the Word of God. Who do they hear that Word from? You. The church. Why do you think He's the church is a bride of Christ? Because we're supposed to be in the community telling others, this is who Jesus is. We don't convict the world of sin and righteousness. The Holy Spirit does, but He uses us. But why? Because when we surrender to Christ as Savior, He came to dwell within us, and He wants to thrive and bless you and be a blessing to the world. He wants to convict the world of sin and righteousness, not because about what you've done, but because of what Jesus accomplished upon the cross. Church, we missed the mark. We're all guilty of it. None is absent of sitting and waiting for others to come to us instead of being the church and the communities, going to them and saying, Jesus loves you no matter where you've been, what you've done, what you've been through. He loves you. That's the power of what God has given for us to share. Recognize the sin. Recognize your own sin. I'm about to throw this thing away. It's about to wear me out. And there it is. I can hear you grunting over there. Can anybody take away your testimony? No. Why don't you share it? Why don't you share it? The world needs to recognize the sin. What we learn from all this? Following Jesus is not a comfortable place to sit in and stay there. It's about like the guy that's down to the North Pole, where it's 100 degrees below zero, and I've got to stop moving. I got to catch my breath, and the people say, no, don't stop moving. You'll freeze to death. Church, we're not supposed to stop moving because we'll become stagnant, and we'll stop making an impact. But listen, church, we don't make the impact. He does. You know where you need to be? And I've heard this from a man named Tom Richter. You need to be at the feet of Jesus. Are you at the feet of Jesus? If you are, you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you're doing what He's called for you to do. Because God has a plan for each and every person that's taking a breath here tonight. And that plan involves sharing Jesus. Acts 1:8, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. That's plan A. There is no plan B. You will be my witness. Ask you one more question. Are you being a witness? Are you being a witness? Are you sharing? The only way to be forgiven is to come to Jesus. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Recognize your sin. Number two, and you fill in the blank if you so had one. I've messed up, now what? Recognize the salvation. Recognize the salvation. What do I mean, recognize the salvation? According to how you answered the first two questions that we talked about at the very beginning, they can be redirected into one question. Have you surrendered to Jesus as Lord of your life? The answer is yes or no. There's no middle road. When you surrender, by the way, as we talked about prayer, you've given it all. Held nothing back. But oftentimes we're too guilty of saying, well, I'm going to hold this back. I'll give it to him later. I had a friend one time said, you know what, I'm going to live my life the way I want it to live, and one of these days I'll give it to him. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You may not be here. Salvation today is a day of salvation. It doesn't say tomorrow or when I get better, because you'll never be good enough. Today is a day of salvation. And we need to recognize that. So have you surrendered to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? If for the first time, repent and come to Jesus. If for the second, for the third, for the thousandth time, you're repenting, repent and come to Jesus. The answer remains the same. Recognize the salvation. So what happens when I decide to come to Jesus? I'm glad you asked. Some think a person changes completely and becomes this perfect Christian. Let me tell you something. There's a Greek word for that, and it's baloney. There is no perfect people, period. Salvation is a process in progress, taking place each and every day of our life. Philippians 2, 12 through 15 answers this. So then, my dear friends, just as you all have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. Well, we could have left that one out, couldn't we? So that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars. Salvation is a work in progress. Let me ask you another question. I'm full of questions tonight. How bright does your light shine like stars in this dark world? This includes church members. This includes Sunday school teachers. This includes Sunday school students. This includes the choir. This includes musicians. This includes deacons. This includes all paid staff. I'm going to pick us on us for just a minute, pastors. But I want to tell you something first. I love each and every one of you. And I'm thankful for you. We've texted, we've talked, we've prayed, we've loved on one another, we've met and talked about revival, we've met and talked to schools. It was a wonderful group of men. I'm glad to be able to stand alongside and go to battle in this community for Jesus. But pastors, I want to ask you a question. And I mean this with all love. And it's not from me, it's God's question for us. Right here. Besides the pulpit, when was the last time you shared your faith? Besides the pulpit, when was the last time you shared with somebody that they can find hope in Jesus? Pastors, that's a question we need to ask ourselves over and over and over and over again. We need to be intentional and share Jesus with others. Some of you maybe say, "Preacher, you said once we are saved that salvation is a work in progress. What do you mean?" Psalm 51, verse 7. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. I use the Holman Christian Standard, but I like how some of the other versions say for that purify, it's called purge. Why? Because I worked in an available plastics for quite some years, and purge became a well-known word for me. You see, we made things out of PVC plastic. Franklin Sports, you may have heard of them, is making hockey goals and all types of different things. And if there's a scratch in it, it would be rejected. And if you work in a business, you know, if it's rejected, you don't make money, the machinist goes home hungry. Now, let's put it that way. So they have this stuff called purge. And this purge, what it did is, let me just preface it with this. Anybody here know what Play-Doh is? What happens to Play-Doh if you don't put it back up? It dries out, doesn't it? And it's hard to get off of whatever it was in. You see, when you get something too hot on the extrusion machine, it'll make this big, bad spot of dry PVC. And it's going to put a big old dark line on your pretty product you're supposed to have. If you keep going that way, you're not usable. But you take that purge and you push it in, and it starts pushing that bad spot out. And it starts removing the filth and the material and the grit and grime and the dirt that's putting the impurity that's putting the stain upon the person. That's exactly what Jesus does for us. The scars are still upon the cross. The scars are still in our lives. But if you'll let Him, He'll purge you, and He'll make you whole. And He'll cleanse you of all impurities. And He'll help you take right steps. You're not perfect. You will make mistakes. But that's why you need to come back to the cross. Recognize your sin, and recognize where salvation is found. Christian, are you doing that? Church, are you doing that? Are we doing that? It's important for us to recognize We need cleansing time and time again. Take up your cross daily and follow me. You see, God loves us enough to save us, but He also loves us enough not to leave us where we are. That's why He wants to purge us of those impurities and bring us to a point to where we can be useful for Him, to bring honor and glory to His name. It's not by our doing. It's by His. Church, are you allowing that to transpire in your life? Number three, I've messed up, now what? Recognize the sacrifice. Recognize the sacrifice. Psalm chapter 51, verses 10 through 12 read like this. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. I want to focus on this one word in there. Create. It comes from the Hebrew word bara. It's the same word used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God bara. He created. And it's the same term as we've probably heard more often, the Latin term ex nihilo, which means God created out of nothing. And here's what David knew as he was writing bara here, God create a new heart. David knew he had nothing to offer. Nothing could he do to restore his salvation. It was all about him. So, church, when we sin, when we fall short, when we make mistakes, we need to allow him to bara, create a new heart within our hearts and our lives. Why? Because we have nothing to offer. It's not about us. It's about Him. And it's about what He's done. It's about what He's accomplished upon the cross. We need to recognize that Jesus was the sacrifice. And He paid it all for us. However, as we look at these scriptures, one thing stands clear. Is David had to respond. When you read from the scriptures in 2 Samuel 12, and Nathan comes and shares that God knows, David had to respond. The same thing holds true with you here tonight. You must respond. I don't know who this message is for, but I know the message God's Word shares that it will not come back void. No matter how much of a mess Greg makes out of it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing from the Word of God. How do people hear the Word of God? They see it in your lives. They see you read it. They see you live it. They see when you make a mistake, you don't throw in the towel. You pick back up and you serve a Savior that gave it all for you. No matter where you've been, what you've done, He wants you to know that He loves you. We need to be repentant. We need to be remorseful. Not sorry we got caught. Be sorry that we committed the sin. And move on. Move forward. Don't look back. Keep striving forward. Psalm 51, 13 through 15, they read like this. Then, I like that word. Then I will teach the people, the rebellious, teach them your ways. And sinners will return to you. Save me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. God of my salvation and my tongue, they will sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time, other than a church setting, you declared the praises of God? When's the last time you said, praise ye the Lord? At a Walmart. At a warehouse groceries. Out of wherever you may be. When's the last time we praise God in the middle of strife, struggle, and stress? We need to be sure that we're following after Him. be sure that we're living in a manner that He's called for us. We respond in a manner. It only takes place when we confess our sins. It only takes place when God has created a new heart within us. It only takes place after we've been purged of our sins. It only happens when we have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, who gave it all for us. Then and only then will we be where God wants us to be. And let me tell you something. It's not a straight road. Why? Because you and I take detours we shouldn't take. It's complicated. If I was to hold a stick behind my back and say, "This stick is crooked," we all have different things run through our mind. Some will be like this, some will be like this, some will be all like this. Mine is everywhere. But if I put a behind my back and I said, "I've got a ruler," every one of us have the same general idea. Boy, it's straight, it's about an inch wide. I used to use it in grade school to draw straight lines. You know what a ruler is. You know that it's straight. You'd get a better idea. Church, how misleading are we to people, and we draw this crooked line going down the path when we need to be pointing right straight to Jesus and say, "He is the author and finisher of our faith. Though I may take wrong paths, He still calls me to come back home." Why? Because He was the sacrifice upon the cross that paid it all for me. Psalm 51, 16 and 17, we're going to wrap this up. They read like this. You do not want a sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. You will not despise a broken and humbled heart, O my God. Here's one thing that I want you to know. The last thing for real. I want you to know tonight, if you hear nothing else, hear this. God wants you. He loves you. He knows you're made of dust. He knows you're prone to mistake. He knows you're going to make bad choices. But He gave His Son the ultimate sacrifice to die on the cross for your sins. He knew from the beginning that you were going to be a sinful person. But you know what? He created you anyway. Now, if we was a football team, I'd tell you, ready, break. Go out into the world and tell them Jesus loves them. In spite of where they've been, in spite of what they've done, in spite of their former past, the way they've lived, no matter how they live, Jesus loves them. Church, this is real. This is life. It's a lifestyle. Are we sharing with a lost and dying world that's headed for a place called hell that they can have hope found in Jesus? The answer is yes or no. Which one are you? Now, I picked on your pastors earlier. When's the last time, church, you shared your testimony? Someone else that needs to know Jesus. That's what He wants for you to do. That's what He sent you to do. And it may be sharing the Romans Road, or it may just be sharing Jesus loves you. I know people have different gifts, but nobody can take away your testimony and what Jesus has done in your life. Because it's the truth. And the truth will set you free. And the truth does not change. So as we get ready for a song of invitation, if you're here tonight and you've not surrendered to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's a free gift there for the taking. Won't you take it? Church, I'm pastor of First Baptist Union Grove. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I need forgiveness day in, day out, because I am nothing. Church, it's time for us to get up on our knees. 2 Chronicles 7:14 comes to mind. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, repent of their sins, then I will hear their voice. Then I will heal their land. Church, we need to be down on our knees. We need to be asking forgiveness. We need to be asking for guidance. We need to be asking for counsel. Father, who is it you want me to share Jesus with today? I challenge you, church. It's my prayer that Union Grove, New Covenant, Sweet Home, Mount View, New Friendship, that we bust at the seams and every church is full every Sunday morning. But church, if we keep doing the same old thing, expecting different results, it's not going to happen. We as His people need to repent and be what God's called us to be. So if that's you, won't you come? As we stand, as we sing, hymn number